CliffCentral.com.
Well, well, well. Good morning, everybody. Adjust my camera a little bit and have a fart. Start the day properly. Isn't that great? That's how you know you're happy. Have a fart. Good morning. What's happening? What's going on? Bulelo and Leanne and I hit it. Were you still laughing about the fart? You like that, huh?
You know me.
It's always liked a good fart joke, Leanne. Always. You know what I thought of over the weekend? I was talking to some friends of mine who were away with me. And I remember those songs I used to make about your breasts. Do you remember all the songs that our listeners used to write and sing and send us?
Yes, I do.
Remember those?
And in fact, and I'll talk about cyber risks a little bit later, but at the risk of, in fact, I don't use it as a password anymore, but I did have mammary glands as one of my passwords because of the song called Mammary Glands.
That was a famous one. I think that was written by Lone Hill Estate. Remember?
Yes.
Yes. Those were the ones. It was good stuff. Awesome. Man. Tell you what. That was some powerful stuff. So,
those were the days.
Yeah, I wonder if I've still got it somewhere here. I think I do. I'll have to look for it. Yeah, how was the weekend, everybody? What did you get up to, Bulelo? What did you get up to, Leanne?
I was in Cape Town.
I was
in Cape Town, you know.
How was that horrible
Cape Town marathon yesterday?
How was that horrible Airbnb you stayed at? Did it get better?
Terrible. Terrible. Oh, it was absolutely terrible. I'll never stay there again. I'm not even going to give them a review because there's nothing good to say about them. Terrible. Everything's a lie. They've got an annoying dog, which they leave. Now I'm in the house. I can hear it yapping in their room while I'm trying to relax as I'm working a job where I've got to be outside for 10 hours of the day.
Oh, my God.
Speaking in the sun.
No, but you see, you have to.
And then I come home.
You have to leave a review because otherwise other people are going to be caught out. You have to help. It is your job to be a Karen.
Yeah, like, oh, okay, sorry, your place is not what you said it is.
Yeah.
That, maybe I should just say that.
Yeah. You're supposed to. I mean, it makes me cringe, and I would just tell people never to go there, but it's bad. I mean, a review should be written, and they should know.
Yes, people have got to know.
I mean, some people will be fine with that kind of accommodation, but then they need to 100%. Let people know. I mean, the worst is being stuck in someone's house, basically, when you thought it was a separate establishment.
Oh,
that's happened to me before, where you need to go through their front door and your bedroom is basically opposite their bedroom.
Yeah. No, that's how I was living.
Oh, my God.
And
it was a nightmare.
I mean, not to one-up you, but I will remind you of the story. Where this exact thing happened, and it was in the Western Cape somewhere in the Winelands.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the scenario where Tani opened the door and her husband was sitting drinking a beer, watching rugby.
Yes.
And the reason we booked it was because we had an event nearby, and it was all far from home.
Yeah.
And so we got ready in the bedroom and we were laughing and giggling because we were basically like kids in our parents' house.
Right.
When we said to them, look, we'll be back probably at about this time because they had to open up for us when we came back from the jaw.
Right.
So when we came back, there was a note saying that there was a key under the mat. So we opened it up and they obviously weren't expecting us back that early.
Oh God.
And my partner was walking in front of me down the passage. And when he got to the end of the passage, he turned around and just started pushing me backwards and said, don't walk any further.
Were the old couple busy humping?
Their bedroom door was wide open.
Oh, no.
And he was sat in a chair.
Oh, God.
And she was on top of him, completely naked.
Oh, my God. Well, good for them.
And they were going for it.
I mean, listen, good for them, right?
So she let out this blood-curdling scream and slammed the door. And we kind of stood outside going, you know, we'd already had our bags packed. So we had our suitcases outside and we were about to just leave. So we started the car and she came running out in her nightgown and she's knocking on the window, on the driver's window. So my partner rolled down the window and she said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what you see. I'm so sorry." And she was like heavily religious as well. So she was saying, you know, this is a sin in God's eyes that you saw this. And
oh my God.
Oh Lord.
That's fantastic.
And we said, well, you know, we'll sort out the bill later.
Yeah.
And we just left. It was very embarrassing.
Awful.
Oh Lord.
No, that's pretty. You take the cake then with that one. That's pretty awful.
Sorry.
No, I don't like these ideas of ending up in a place like you're paying for it. It's not like you're getting it for someone doing you a favor. Like you're staying with a friend.
Yeah,
and you know? I deliberately pay on the high end of what the apartment costs because I know in life, I believe you get what you pay for. So I don't believe, oh, I got a bad deal. No, you get what you pay for. You want to be a cheapskate. You're going to get cheapskate stuff. So I paid on the high end. I always look for the high end apartment that I can afford, you know, which is the most expensive Uber that or place that was available in the area that I needed. So, you know, I paid what I think is the premium. And also it's like now the next level is I find people and so smoking revolts me, right? Like it's absolutely revolting to me.
Right.
And now they smoke and their house smells like smoke. So pile that on top of I'm stuck in your house. Now it's revolting. Jesus. Plus 3 PM, you go out and your Maltese poodle's yapping because you've left it in the bedroom. And I was just like, oh my God. But in the spirit of being consistent, it's my fault because I believe everything's your fault. I didn't research enough. It's my fault. So
yeah.
Moving forward, you better believe they have unleashed a Karen on the next Airbnb people. Oh, I'm sending big time messages. Who do you live with? Where do you live? What's your blood type? How did your mother raise you?
They've made it hard for the next person to convince you that they're good people. Well, I had an interesting experience. A friend of mine in Umhlanga said to me they don't follow me on Instagram and they wanted to follow me. We're sitting having drinks and he looked it up on his phone, so he tried to find me on Instagram, right? First of all, even though I've got a blue tick on Instagram, I'm not listed at the top under Gareth Cliff. There's some fake accounts there. So that annoyed me. Then he clicks follow, right? And it comes up with a warning. It says, are you sure you want to follow someone who's been repeatedly posting false information? Yeah. So I this is how Instagram works now. And you only find this out if you're sitting with someone and they try to follow you. You know, they're an outsider trying to come in for the first time. This is and I've wondered because for the last, I don't know, probably the last 4 or 5 months, certainly this year, I feel like I've been shadow banned because my following has not moved at all. My stuff isn't being shared. A lot of people have sent me messages to say, you know, we have to go to your feed to find your stuff. It doesn't come up on my feed anymore. So there's something going on here, and I can't help thinking it's because, you know, I speak about things that Instagram doesn't approve of. And I'm not like...
Because your hard work, you know, it's like when you were at the SABC. Yeah. You couldn't just let the show run. Somebody had to listen because you were bound to do something that might test the barriers.
Right. So this is the whole problem now is that big tech really isn't giving everybody a free or a fair shot at doing what they do. Mm-hmm. And I'm seriously just not interested in making any effort on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm going to start going quiet on those things. I don't care if it costs me. I don't care if it costs me new audiences. I mean, our audiences on Cliff Central have doubled since we started lockdown, right? So that's 2 years ago. They've doubled. They've probably gone up even more in the last year, although I haven't checked. So we're growing anyway, without Instagram, without Twitter, without Facebook. And all that shit we've been sold about how if you're not on social media, you don't count. Nonsense. I'm getting off there. I've had enough. I'm not going to have a bunch of fucking left-wing lunatics in San Francisco deciding that I'm a poster of fake news. I've been doing media longer than some of them have been alive. Get fucked.
But yeah. I'd love to know something, because there's Facebook South Africa, right? And I stand to be corrected, but I think they actually, it is geo-fenced. So I believe it would actually be people at Facebook South Africa who would be, that's Gareth Cliff. I mean, you've got the biggest, probably the social media following, especially on Twitter. So they know who you are in South Africa, especially.
Yeah.
That smells of somebody in Facebook South Africa.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
There's probably someone
more
there.
Left wing here. Because guys in San Francisco.
You know, the irony is, they won't do this to Duduzane Zuma, who's obviously spreading bullshit and causing and fermenting tension. I mean, you know, the Zuma family were behind stoking up those riots in. No, that actually put real people in danger. All I'm doing is sharing an opinion, and very many opinions that are probably not approved by the powers that be. You know, if it's Facebook South Africa, they can Kushmir and Tochasarayan as well. They can fuck right off, because I've had enough of trying to. You know, I haven't had any problems personally on social media before. I remember right in the beginning. I put up that picture of those two women from Little Britain, those two enormously fat women who are obviously played by men. And I you remember.
And they were in suits, and you got nabbed for nudity, even though they were in suits made of plastic.
Correct. And they flagged it for nudity. And I thought, it's a bit childish, but I had to start my Facebook all over again. And it wasn't even that difficult, frankly, because I managed to just get rid of a whole lot of other bullshit along the way. All those people who were on my Facebook, but I didn't really know. I don't go on Facebook a lot. I really don't. So I can do without that. Twitter, I already don't use. So now Instagram's also off of here. So eventually the only place you're going to find me is here on this podcast. I don't need to be anywhere else.
There's TikTok, which is really forgiving. And it's certainly a lot more free. And
I'm not supporting anything Chinese online. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get a social credit. I'm not doing it. I won't. I don't need any of this. Okay, I won't do it.
Well, look, I was going to talk about this later, but it's fitting now.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the Chinese and trust and cyber attacks. So obviously being in the industry that I'm in, my personal Facebook account is linked to the ad accounts and business accounts of a lot of my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened on Thursday is I received an alert, a message popped up on Facebook Messenger saying, you know, you've had some strange access to your account. Click this link to reset your password, which I did. And they hacked into and took over the business manager of three of my UK clients.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And they blocked out. I mean, there are at least three or four of us in the company who have access to each of these pages.
Mm-hmm.
They locked all of us out. When I investigated further, I saw that the breach had taken place in a specific city in China. And we had no access. They started running ads using my client's credit cards.
Wow.
These ads ran into tens of thousands of pounds.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
These ads were running and the amounts were coming off of my clients' bank cards. You can imagine the security alert that this raised within the company.
Was this all your fault or is it a company problem?
So if you're talking about fault, when you're talking about money, it's Facebook's fault.
Okay.
So Facebook are the people who should be providing the refund.
Right.
But steps need to be taken immediately for each of these clients to freeze any payments made to Facebook or either cancel their credit cards and payment or PayPal's completely. So there were obviously huge crisis meetings called. And for a while, we just couldn't get in and stop these ads, and they were just running.
Yeah.
And it was for something weird, like some kind of crazy outdoor fan that spins and, you know, creates a vortex or something like that. It had nothing to do with my clients.
Oh, my God.
So we managed to, because of our stature and not just approaching Facebook as an individual, we were able as a company to get in touch with Facebook Concierge, and were assigned a specific person to the case. You know, after 2 hours of live chatting and sending over screenshots and evidence, we finally regained control of the accounts. But of course, we sit with the client saying, this is your fault, I need my money back. And to explain to them that no, a case has been opened specifically by Facebook. Here's the case number. The refund is their priority and prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, you know, it leaves people irate. And the hardest part for me was I felt like I needed to say sorry to them individually, even though it wasn't my fault. But upon closer inspection, this link that I clicked in Messenger
mm-hmm.
actually had the word bot in the URL, which I didn't pick up. And so by providing my old password and then a new one, that's how they gained access. So that's just a warning to anybody.
You've got to be so careful.
Don't answer these.
Yeah.
It's just, it's made me very angry. Also feeling the same way you do.
Yeah, I mean, look, if I hadn't bumped into this friend of mine and he hadn't added me on Instagram, I wouldn't have seen this with my own eyes. And I wish I'd asked him to take a screenshot because you know how stupid this is. I have been doing shows on radio and television for years now. I've been on social media virtually since social media started, but a big supporter of social media. To see that they're telling people I know that they don't even know, are you sure you want to follow this person because they post fake news? Let me tell you something. I know exactly what it is. It's all political, right? That's what's going on here. This is all about the fact that I mock Joe Biden for being a demented old fool. This is all to do with the fact that I've said I think that people should have the choice to vaccinate or not vaccinate. This is all to do with the fact that I say things about American politics, about geopolitics, about the left and the right, and they don't like all of that stuff. That's what it is, and it's nonsense. What they're doing is they are showing their hand, because now that I've seen it, I know what's going on. Now I can tell that now their ruse is up, you know, because they probably do this to lots of people. There are probably a whole bunch of people all over the world who found themselves suddenly sidelined on social media because they don't have the right opinion. And these are companies that talk about how they stand for freedom of expression and they stand for a diversity of opinion. No, you don't. You don't. And you are not trustworthy. You are a bunch of liars and thieves. And I don't want to be involved in making you rich anymore. I don't want to do it.
Well, that's exactly what you're doing. You're providing entertaining content, so they're shooting themselves in the foot because you're bringing people to their platform.
Yeah. Well, you see, this is also I don't understand how, for example, it's as Mbulelo says, it's probably some like just graduated university student who goes on and decides these are the people we're going to shadow ban, whether it's in America or here. And I don't understand how that person has any locus standi to do this. Either you're a free platform or you're not. If you're going to be shadow banning people, then you must also be sued for the content that you let through. Then you're no longer just a platform, you're a publisher, because now you're deciding who gets to publish and who doesn't. The moment that happens, Facebook or Instagram or any of the others, then you become responsible for what you put on your site or what I put on your site. So now you can be sued by anyone. So when people put up an abusive animal video or when there's child porn or something really truly revolting on there, they must sue Facebook and Instagram. And the U.S. Congress should take them in hand. Because as much as I hate government and politicians interfering in free enterprise, you can't claim to be a platform, but then you are deciding what goes on. Then you're a publisher. A newspaper can be sued for things they publish. So why does a social media platform get away with it? Oh, because they claim to be a platform. Well, that stops when you start shadow banning people or you decide what opinions are right or wrong. Then you're an editor. Then you're a publisher. Now suddenly the rules must change. Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys. You've shown your hand. It's time for you to go down. Anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the theory, that these platforms are going down, and especially the, you know, Facebook and Instagram being both under Facebook. This is why these other platforms are branching out. Let's see how it goes, but people are getting really pissed off.
Yeah. It is very weird, though. Like, who's deciding? Who decides whether Gareth Cliff, like, I don't follow anybody on my personal accounts, but on my business accounts, I follow, like, Piers Morgan. That didn't happen for him, you know? And, like, he's hectic. Yeah. I mean, if there is a figure that is making people wildly crazy in America and the UK, it's him. And he's got, I mean, people think you have strong opinions. Have you listened to Piers Morgan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's just started a job at, I think, Talk Radio or something. And he's going crazy now. He couldn't care less.
Good.
So, Bulelo, you're probably already following him. But
really. I followed Piers when he got fired. So on my business account, I followed him when he got fired.
You found him perfectly fine.
No. And there was no warning of, are you sure you want to follow, you know? Mm. So
here we go.
It's interesting.
So, someone just sent me the screenshot of what happens if you try to follow me. I'm going to send this to you. I'll put it on the screen. You can see.
Yeah, please do.
Rob just sent this to me now. This is unbelievable. God, I get annoyed. I really, you know, little thing like that. I was having such a nice weekend, and then this happened. It pissed me off. Let me just find this this picture and show you quickly.
And you kind of need someone who's going to be, who's not going to be emotional in applying for this to change.
Yeah. Here it is. Look at this.
If you are emotional, they're going to ignore you.
So it says, are you sure that you want to follow GR Cliff? Okay. That's my Instagram. This account has reportedly posted false information that was reviewed by independent fact checkers or went against our community guidelines. By the way, these independent fact checkers, none of them are independent. None of them are fact checkers. They're all left-wing NGOs. They are not fact checkers. They've claimed that territory for themselves without any say-so. They have no. Who's?
Can you remember a specific post?
No, I mean, come on.
That you were.
Anytime you say anything about Corona, even if you're saying things that are true about Corona, even if you are saying things that they approve of, it comes up with that little COVID-19 info warning. You've got to ask yourself why, right? So stupid.
It's tough. Do you think it's a bot, or do you think it's people that are designing this?
I have no idea. I don't know.
It's weird because. Something that I realized this weekend as I was in the conversation, it's like I was talking to a 28-year-old and I realized why the world is getting easier for me, because so many people have to like you before they'll listen to what you say.
Yeah.
And I realized that in conversation with this girl this weekend, I was like, oh, now I see what's happening here. Oh, this is weird. I'm walking away.
That's exactly
just
right.
Just because you're upset, you know?
Anyway, let's move on. We've got other things to talk about. Lawrence says, Lawrence, is Gareth ever coming back to Idols? What for? I was bored with it after season 5. I stuck around. It was good for Cliff Central. What the hell would I go back to Idols for? Are you mad? Really? It'd be like saying, when are you coming back to the radio? I mean, I've got control of my life in ways that I never had when I worked for other people.
Mm-hmm.
60 Minutes Australia just aired an unbelievable story about the Facebook whistleblower and the crap that their moderators had to watch that people had posted on Facebook. Murders, child and animal abuse, they're traumatized. Yeah, you see, that stuff gets on there, but you say something about a controversial political point of view, suddenly you're fake news. Independent fact checkers. Please listen to me. If you see a fact checker, just know, straight up, if you ever see anything that's been fact checked, it's been purged of unapproved opinion. That's what it is. This is an opinion we don't approve of. Fact checkers abroad, and these are not fact checkers. They're bullshit artists, and I don't believe a single word of it. Even in this country, we have fact checkers. They're all paid for by left-wing political organization. You can fact check that. Fucking nonsense. Anyway, so we've got to get moving. We've got to do some things this morning. First of all, there's an interesting story Leanne has about the most expensive hotel on earth. So you think it's probably some very tall building in Dubai or something, right? But it isn't.
No, it's not.
What is it?
I mean, can you, if it's not a building, Mbulelo, perhaps you guess. What could it be if it's not a building, this hotel?
I'll guess it's like, so I once stayed at a ridiculous place. Thank goodness I didn't have to pay for it. In Finland, in a forest, which is a glass hotel that where you can, you're in the middle of the forest, but it's like being in the Burj Khalifa, basically. And you've got a 360 view of everywhere around you. And then you can turn it into, I don't know what the feature is, where you like crystallize things so they can't see you. It's two-way glassy kind of thing. So yeah. I'm guessing it's one of those glass forests in the middle of glass hotels in the middle of nowhere is what I would guess.
Okay. And if you were paying $240,000 per night.
What?
Jesus.
What?
$240,000 per night.
Wow.
What would you expect?
To be on the moon with Megan Fox and Janelle Bunchen constantly walking around naked.
Well, this place really exists.
Michael says it's
outrageous.
Is it a ship?
Close, but you know, considering that it only houses you and your entourage, so it's not not the size of the vessel. But that is close. It's a submarine.
Oh, wow.
Good God.
Okay.
It's a submarine in the Caribbean. And it's obviously been modified to be completely luxury. Your journey starts on top of the water. And you board it like you would a ship. It then goes under the water and moves with you in it. So you have constantly changing views around you. You obviously see amazing marine life.
Look at that.
It comes with all the bells and whistles, if you were wondering, private butlers, all the rest.
Nice.
Obviously comes with your own chef. I mean, I should hope. I don't know how much more you can you can get. The rooms are all soundproofed. It's... You choose your own meals. Some, for like honeymooners, you may get like an aphrodisiac tasting menu of oysters, caviar, chocolate fondant. You know, obviously no fries on the menu unless you really wanted them. It's basically a boast holiday, and it's for the super rich people.
Yeah,
it's called the Lover's Deep Luxury Submarine Hotel, the most expensive hotel in the world.
Wow.
That's awesome. It's, and it's worth every penny. That I would, if I was that rich, I would. That is awesome. A submarine hotel.
Yeah. So you get your own captain, your chef, your butler. A speedboat transfers you to and from the submarine. You get helicopter transfers. Beach landings as well are provided to the guests.
Huh. Wow. Jeez. Suppose you could, because you're in a submarine too, so you get, while you're traveling, you get the underwater view. But you can also go all over the world, so benefits of all the ships, you know, so you can dock in a certain harbor, you can stop there because it's nice, it's terrific. I love this. I mean, having been on a couple of cruise ships in the Mediterranean, I can say without any shadow of doubt, it's one of the best ways to travel. It's amazing.
There's also an option to be moored near a sunken battleship in the Red Sea.
Oh, wow.
So it kind of moves between the two.
Huh.
And you have the choice of where you want to be docked.
It's amazing.
But, I mean, it's the price of, I'm sure you could buy a suburb in America for that amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, Ojopotse says, I'd rather not. I get claustrophobic. And I feel like that's also something might bother me. You know, fresh air is a kind of a big deal to me. I'm not sure this would be my favorite way to travel.
Have you been in a submarine, though?
No.
It is one of the most epic feelings in the world.
No, you have?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's – yeah. I went with the – so obviously the Navy's down in Cape Town, right? Mm-hmm. And I was really fortunate to go a couple of times as we were doing some content for and with them. It was amazing. Being in a submarine is one of the most surreal things that's ever happened to me. Great experience.
I'm not claustrophobic, but I wouldn't like to be locked in a vessel like that underwater. Sorry. Not my idea of fun.
I'm thinking that it would be designed to make you not even realize that you're in a closed space.
Mm-hmm.
But just imagine, like, a shark goes by, changes, no. One of those monster turtles go by, an octopus.
I'll be all right.
You having a Wagyu steak.
No, I'll be okay.
What a wonderful
thing. I think I'll be all right. So the U.S. is going to lift their travel ban for anyone who is fully vaccinated on November the 8th. That's very good news. And the new rules that were announced by the White House, vaccinated people who have had a negative test in the 72 hours before traveling will be allowed to enter the U.S. The move marks the end of a tough restriction period, which has been imposed on travelers since early last year. The policy is guided by public health, stringent and consistent, a White House spokesperson said. New rules will apply to Schengen countries and South Africa. Current rules bar entry to most non-US citizens who've been in the UK, China, India, South Africa, Iran, or Brazil, or a number of European countries within the last 14 days. So there's some interesting news for those of us who are looking to travel again, and for those of us who are just feeling a little bit of cabin fever. And then, this is interesting, a story, obviously, local government should address the apartheid legacy. Ugh, doesn't this sound like an old story? Why would we need to address the apartheid legacy now? According to Pemi Majodina, who is the ANC's chief whip, why would you be doing that now, Pemi, when you guys have been in control, in government, in power, for 28 years or 27 years? Why now, Pemi? What have you been doing since 1994? And remember, under Thabo Mbeki, you had almost 70% of the votes in the country. Do you remember that? There was no one standing in your way. Why now, Pemi?
But what does she mean, address it?
Because, well, it's like climate change or any of those things that are really not solvable. You talk about it because it sounds like a big, audacious goal. Makes people think that you've got the important shit on your agenda. But there's no way to completely address this. It is generational. We know that the effects of apartheid aren't going to go away anytime soon. But for the ANC, of all people, to be telling us they're going to address it, they just mean they're going to talk about it, Mbulelo. You know that. They just mean they're going to sit around
and talk about it. But if we're going to address it, I say, you know what? Tragic moment in history. It's we all know. Okay, let's address it. Let's start with one of the ways we could have solved this problem. Don't steal the money. So let's start with you guys. If you want to address it, let's go in-house. You know the money you've stolen for the last 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's address how much of it is exactly.
Yeah.
And let us know what you think of yourselves. And I don't want to hear, oh, that was the old people.
Yeah.
You are a part of it. If you've chosen to be a part of this organization, let's address the money you've taken, because actually that's a part of the story of addressing it. So we must also be very careful what we mean by address it. Do you address the whole thing or just the parts you want to talk about?
And also, I mean, where are the journalists and fact checkers now to actually ask her some follow-up questions like you just did?
They're working at Facebook.
Correct. She says that we have passed many laws that have strengthened and deepened the transformation of local government. Includes the amendment to the Municipal Structures Act, which, among others, provides for the prohibition of a councillor who was found guilty of a breach of code of conduct for a period of 2 years. We've also recently promulgated the traditional Khoi and San Leadership Act, which allows for the representation of traditional leadership in municipal councils. Do you know what they're also doing in certain places now? They're busy renaming stuff. In the 3 weeks before elections, they're busy renaming streets and things. This is what government people do. They should all be fired, the whole bloody lot of them. There isn't a good one among them.
I watched Miss South Africa.
Oh, yeah?
It happened on Saturday. I very rarely watch it. I saw it come up on my catch-up, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, in the interests of being involved in the media, needing to know a little bit about everything,
sure,
I'll watch it just to see how it's changed. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
It was very much about a powerful stance. It was really, I almost felt like it wasn't even a beauty competition. It felt more about power and women standing up for themselves and empowering the youth.
Well, that's why I'm not watching anymore.
The contestants had, especially the final three and the winner, had real issues that they wanted to tackle.
So politicians. We need more politicians. That's a great idea.
Well, the one who came second is a doctor. And Can I tell
who
you something?
Who cares? It's a beauty contest.
On the plane.
It's a beauty contest. What are you people looking for? Why are you guys looking
beautiful
for
women on stage? Please,
why are
let's
you
not
looking,
take that away from us.
Hold on.
You're looking both for doctors of you, and politicians. I started the story.
Go on.
Let's just keep on focus here. The focus is that the politicians that we're talking about, yes, addressing apartheid is a serious issue, but it carries as much weight as a beauty queen saying, "I advocate for world peace."
How does beauty queen advocating for world peace ever change anything? Name one time that a woman stood with a little tiara on and a sash and said something and everything got better. Name a time. I give you all year to come up with an answer.
That is my exact point, okay? These women have programs already running to help those who are unemployed, specific youths in specific areas who are unemployed. They have programs running already to address protecting your reproductive health and that sort of thing. So what I'm trying to point out here is, instead of the ANC wanting world peace or to address apartheid, what about the current situations that they're facing? Why aren't we hearing about these things now? Why aren't we hearing about dealing with corruption and specific programs to address these things?
And it's our fault as South Africans. We have to accept that we have allowed politicians to take a place in society which we should be occupying. You get what you get, you deserve in life. You get what you deserve. And we've behaved ourselves into this position across the board. And we can't just say, because we live in the suburbs, we didn't do it. We're a part of it. We've allowed politicians to occupy a space in society that is far too powerful.
And then what do? We add more politicians by turning beauty queens into politicians. I mean, no one in the fucking world is expecting some girl who's just won a beauty contest. It's called a beauty pageant, right? It is in the name. Don't go and call it a beauty pageant and then ask for someone with great leadership skills and who's caring about world peace or helping the poor. That's not why we want Miss South Africa. That's why we want a president. Don't confuse them. We don't need another sideshow president who's she's standing up for women's rights and what? Win, look pretty and then win. And that's it. That your job is done. Please. This really irritates me. It's one of the reasons I won't watch Miss South Africa anymore. It's all become another place, yet another place where we can sit and talk about how virtuous we are and how we're going to change the world for the better. Wah, 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 wah. I'm not interested. Just look pretty or shut up.
I don't know. I think
Miss South Africa.
You know, they've already evidenced that they can do what they're wanting to do.
How?
And I think they probably have, because they already are involved in these programs.
How? What do they do? They cut a ribbon and pitch up for a photograph. How do they make the world better? It's the social workers who are doing the work there. Don't necessarily give credit to Miss South Africa. God bless her. She's meant to be pretty, and when the country enters international pageants, she's our representative. That's the most important thing she does, is has a shot at Miss World. That's all.
But let's not be angry at her.
No, I'm not angry at her.
I'm angry at people doing their thing. It's our fault.
We are
the problem.
I'm angry at the organizers of these things, that they've turned everything political now, that even a beauty pageant has to become a political thing. Sport is becoming a political thing. Everything has been turned into politics, because politics is your lowest entry to anything. You just have to win a popularity contest. That's all it is. We don't need more politicians. So let's not co-opt sports people and beauty pageant winners and every commentary on Twitter into the political realm. We don't need more of them. Thank you very much. Jesus, this is so stupid. I don't understand how we can even. God bless you, Miss South Africa. I hope you go on. Go and win Miss World. Go and win Miss World.
Don't take beautiful women off stage.
Put a nice dress on.
You could lead to that.
Put on a nice dress, walk around with a tiara, sign a couple of photographs of yourself, cut some ribbons. That's what we need you for. Thanks very much. Great. All right. Lovely. Miss South Africa. There we go. We covered all the important news this morning.
Oh.
I'm with you, Leanne. Don't take beautiful women off stage. I want to watch them.
Hey, can you tell me about Cricket South Africa and this announcement before we get to Dr. Hanan? Apparently they've announced that fans could soon attend T20 knockout quarterfinals. But are they going to? Did anyone ever go to those before?
No one cares. I was at the sharp end of how disgusting South African sport is run at the moment.
Yeah.
And listen, South Africa is headed in a great direction in terms of business. I was around some extremely successful people this weekend. So we have people that are trying and want to stay in this country. But let me tell you, I've worked in the running scene, and Athletic South Africa, Cricket South Africa is so rotten and disgusting. And yesterday I was involved in an event at Cape Town Marathon where Athletic South Africa showed their ugly, disorganized head. So Cricket South Africa is a joke. You know, I've often said it's run like a spaza shop.
Hmm.
It is my moment to apologize to spaza shops.
Yes.
It is an insult to spaza shops to suggest that Cricket South Africa has run that well.
Because if these spaza shops are...
all spaza shop owners, I'm sorry.
Yeah, a spaza shop has to be viable and it has to be managed quite carefully. Otherwise, you go under.
It has to be managed.
Yeah.
It has to be managed.
Yeah.
Cricket South Africa is not managed. It's a joke. So please, can we not spend any time on those buffoons? Because that's exactly what they are. All of them are buffoons. All of them. There's not one good. Can I tell you quickly a quick story? Cricket South Africa are still employing a lady who paid 5 million rand to put an advert, a one pager, in the Sunday Times and justified it. How do you pay 5 million rand for an ad in the newspaper? 5 million rand for one pager.
What were they?
Our money.
What were they even advertising?
Themselves.
And it wasn't even the whole page. That was one of the costs of the investigation. 5 million rand she had put, and she still has a job.
In a newspaper that's going to be used for toilet paper the next day.
Yeah. So these are the people we're talking about. I mean.
All right. Well, it's time for It's Going to Be Okay with Dr. Hanan Bushkin, renowned psychologist, head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic. If you've had any issue in your life that you would like to bring to his attention and maybe get some free advice and some, it's essentially like really short form therapy as well. And if you want to do that, you can get hold of us, contact@cliffcentral.com. So I did an interview the other day with Glynis Horning about her son who took his own life, and it was a very difficult interview to do. I thought she was extremely helpful in describing what it is like and how raw and difficult it has been for her in the 2 years since her son killed himself to deal with all the things she's dealing with. And I'm glad that we managed to speak to Glynis, but I got an email from Debbie who said, wow, this interview left me numb. The sheer pain of losing a child is tangible from listening to Glynis. I'm a mom of 2 little kids, 3 and 5 years, and this topic scares the bejesus out of my husband and I. Right now, we're just focusing on trying to raise them not to be assholes. That's seriously our purpose in parenting. But the fear of being a helpless parent is terrifying. I wonder if this is something that Dr. Hanan could talk about, the balance of getting our kids to harden the hell up versus empathy on how they respond to the world around them. So let's bring Dr. Hanan on. Hey, Dr. Hanan, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, very good. I'm sure you heard the intro, and I've actually got Debbie here with us this morning, too. Hey, Debbie. Nice to see you.
Morning, everyone.
Morning. So, did I manage to articulate the situation well enough for you, Debbie, that you want to have Dr. Hanan give us some ideas of what that difficult tightrope walk is in parenting?
Yeah, perfectly. It really is something that my husband and I speak about all the time, is we just want our kids not to be assholes, because there are so many asshole kids around. And for me, the tough part is really kind of empathizing with them in a world where it is tough, but also saying to them, you know what, it's time to harden up.
Right.
So where is that balance? How do you strike that balance, especially in this? And that's what Gary said, like that Glynis Horning interview, it really struck hard. Like, where do you know when to empathize? Are they anxious? Are they, or is it just about saying, you know what, life's tough and this is part of life? I know my kids are very little, so probably a bit of a hard stance to take. But yeah, that's what goes through our mind.
Hmm.
So, you know, raising children is probably the toughest job on planet Earth. And the reason why is because it's a constantly moving target in a constantly moving world, and there are no rules, and there's no manual to doing this. You can't pick up a book on how to raise healthy children, because the truth is, if you had to write that book, the book that you would pick up in 1970 would completely change to the book that you'd pick up in 1980 and 1990, and certainly today, post-pandemic or during the pandemic. So because the rules keeps on changing, the strategy has to keep on changing too. And what I'd like to advise all parents is that you must understand your kids are emotional human beings. They don't have the insight or the foresight to manage their lives. And I get a lot of pushbacks from especially the new age woke parents that kind of give their children free rein to do whatever they want because they believe the decision needs to come from the child. And I turn to these to these parents and I say, well, would you allow your child to, your one-year-old, to run into a swimming pool or to stick its finger into a plug or to touch a hot plate? And they go, of course not.
Yeah.
And I say, exactly, because why wouldn't you? Well, because they don't have the foresight or insight of what's about to happen. So why would you allow them to make these decisions when it comes to consequential things about their future? So then the parents say to me, well, what should I be doing? And I want to give you some perspective that might be really useful to you in raising your children. Well, our number one goal as parents is to help our children adjust in a healthy way and be resilient in the world when they finally kind of move out of our wingspan and manage their lives on their own. But how do we do that? Well, what we have to do, and I want all the parents to think about this, is I want you to emulate what the real world looks like. And the real world looks like, well, there's rules, there are consequences, there's structure, there's reward for doing the right thing, there are consequences for doing the wrong thing. That's the way it works. And the best way to do it is to create some structure and routine for them. Because us as human beings, we really feel in control the moment there's routine and structure and somebody is flying the plane, so to speak. And I use the term the plane. I've used this before on the show. Yeah. Imagine you're sitting at the back of the plane and there's suddenly a little bit of turbulence and you're like, what's going on? And one, no captain comes up to give you some information about what's going on. Well, how are you going to feel? Or even worse, imagine the captains, the parents, start bickering and fighting with each other. How will you feel at the back of the plane? Well, you're going to be freaking out. What you want is a captain to come along and go, here are the rules of the game. Here's what's going to happen. Here's how I'm going to manage it. Everything is going to be okay. Buckle up. We're going to land. We're going to be safe. And then you can sit at the back of the plane and feel safe. But to give you some structure, you want to create some rule sets, reward, and consequences for your kids. Rule sets, rewards, consequences for your kids. Don't allow your kids to manage themselves using their own emotions, because no child likes to eat broccoli, and therefore all they'll do is just eat chocolate for breakfast. I don't know, for sure, that's the way kids work. But what you want to create is rules, rewards, and consequences. And parents say to me, what rules should I be creating? Well, that's up to you. You mold your kids in the way that you feel is fit. And if you don't know, you lean on somebody that will guide you. So my rules for my kids could be very different to your rules for your kids. The only reason why you get naughty children, and this is important, the only reason why you get naughty children is because you get incompetent parents. The only reason why you get naughty children is because you get incompetent parents. The moment there's no structure, rules, routines, consequences, you're going to have your children manage themselves. And as I said, children manage themselves with emotions.
So here's a practical example. So my oldest, he's five. He gets obsessed with something, a toy, an Iron Man, a bag, a paper bag of sweets. And it's like you cannot get him to focus on anything else, but this is his obsession. And I want to say to him, my boy, if you don't share, well, I do say to him, my boy, if you don't share, you're not going to have friends. Like that's not going to want to thank you. Is that too harsh? And I know, I understand that everyone's different. All the parenting books, you know, don't worry if your child doesn't meet its milestone. Kids are all different. But there's got to be some kind of like guideline or general rules that
for sure. But Debbie, but so you know what, Debbie, the thing is, well, I'll tell you this, you know, and I want you to understand, kids are much worse than adults in this respect, but nobody learns with logic. We are not logical beings. We are emotional beings.
Yeah.
So you can tell a smoker, hear all the facts of why you should be quitting, and I understand it. But because it's a habit, it's an addiction, they don't want to stop it. And children, if you explain to your child why sharing is caring, they give zero, you know what? They just don't care. They just don't care about the logic of it. And if you take anything out of today, remember, children don't learn with logic and explanation. Children learn with experience. So you can explain to a child why putting their hand on a hot plate is dangerous all you want, but they will learn much quicker the moment they put their hand on a hot plate and obviously get burned. Now, by the way, I'm not saying go and teach them with something that hurts them and, you know, don't go put their hand on a hot plate so they can learn. But with the right structure and with the right consequence and reward for the right behavior, you can actually mold their patterns.
Yeah,
and I mean that it makes sense, and I know like emotion drives behavior. So, and it's always, you know, you read all these things about as a parent, check your emotions before you respond. But it's tough, you know. Both of us are working, and you're frazzled at the end of the day, and you actually just want, like, it's really hard. And
but you know what, Debbie, I want to tell you something.
Don't try to negotiate.
But here's the thing, Debbie, you know, I hear this a lot from so many parents. Don't allow yourself to manage your children. Create a system that does it for you. I'll say it again. Don't allow yourself to manage your children, because then your emotions will guide you. Create a system that manages them for you. That's the way big, you know, if kind of I compare it to big corporations or armies, they create a system that manages the people. So it's a system that rewards good behavior and punishes bad one and regulates behavior.
You know what strikes me is how many people are still stuck in that child mindset. Like, they learn by feeling and by experience rather than by logic. And I think part of the problem with the whole world today is that there are so many people who've prioritized their feelings, how they feel about something, as opposed to thinking about it. This is a major problem everywhere. Where are the adults? If everybody's running around worrying about their feelings.
Right. And the thing is, though, remember, your children, you know, we think feelings are, sometimes your feelings lie to you. What you should fear, you shouldn't. What you should fear, you don't. And what you shouldn't fear, you do. Sometimes your guilt is unreasonable. Sometimes your anxiety is unreasonable. Sometimes your anger is completely misplaced. So your feelings could lie to you. But Debbie, what I want to highlight, and I can be more specific, but I want you to create a system in your household that manages your children. Again, create some structure and rules and rewards and consequences for how you want your children to behave. So if you want your child, for example, to do more homework, well, that's possible. Even to an ADHD child, you can actually make them do more homework and sit down, as long as you regulate that behavior with the correct reward and the correct consequences for not following through. Now, you know your child better than anyone else, and you can regulate and set specific goals that are realistic for them. But create a system. You know, we all need structure, whether, you know, we call it a star chart for children, and that's something that regulates children, but it's not just children. You know, you need structure when you're 1 day old, and you need structure when you're 101 years old. So again, if you get your child, if you want your child to behave in a particular way, create a system that rewards good behavior and creates a, and punishes in inverted commas, their consequences for bad behavior. And when I see parents and they tell me my child isn't behaving, my child doesn't respond to the star chart, the answer is because your star chart sucks. Because your star chart's like, that's the only reason why children don't follow the star charts. It's not because of your child. It's because your star chart sucks, and you got to recalibrate it.
And I suppose it's all about making sure that the star chart is relevant to the child, because I mean, my sister and I, we're very close family. I've got two nephews. Our kids are 3, 4, 5, 6, And what works for her kids, like, she gets so frustrated with me because, you know, her kids are very different, obviously. And she's like, don't let him get away with that. And I'm like, it's not going to work if I shout at him or scream at him. Exactly. He's just going to spiral.
Exactly. So, you know,
It's not a matter about putting a star chart off of Instagram or Pinterest. It's actually
about absolutely. You custom design it. Yeah. You know, Debbie, I've got two kids. I've got a 7 and 9 year old. And you must see their star chart is so different. The rules, the rewards, what my 9-year-old wants as a reward is very different to what my 7-year-old wants as a reward. What my 9-year-old responds to in terms of a consequence is very different to what my 7-year-old responds to as a consequence. What I expect from my 9-year-old is very different to what I expect from my 7-year-old. They almost like looked at two different star charts from two different families that come from two different universes. So you have to customize your star chart for your child for sure. And if you don't know, lean on somebody that will guide you.
There's an interesting,
about that hard work,
There's an interesting point being made here by Robin. She says, most parents let their children raise them these days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because you allow your child to fly the plane. Listen, if nobody's flying the plane, the most emotional one will get into the cockpit and fly it for sure. So, of course, your children are going to guide you. Your children will tell you where you must go for lunch and what the structure of the house needs to be and when they're going to do homework and when they're going to go to bed. And they will be, you'll be guided by them.
Yeah, well, to that point, Michael's rightly saying mass compliance is the most ridiculous, to the most ridiculous requests as we've seen during COVID, is a symptom of emotional immaturity. Emotionally immature individuals are easily controlled by a fear of death and obviously other such things. Tracy says finding your child's currency is key. That is another trick.
Absolutely.
Whether it's screen time or actual monetary rewards, it could be a yes day, etc.
Absolutely, that's a great point. And so of course, Yes.
Another question is then how do, because then kids transition into the school system where you do have these blanket rules. How do you accommodate for that? So they go to school where they do have to follow, they are kind of all seen as the same. So how do you balance that?
Yeah, so look, I mean, that's the way the world works. The truth is your children are going to go into university and there'll be a blanket system there. And then they're going to go into the working world and there'll be a blanket system there. That's okay. But you treat them as individuals when they do come home. But to Tracy's point, pick the currency that works for them, reward them with the carrot that's meaningful to them and create consequence with a stick, excuse the term, that is meaningful to them. That's the way you'll regulate it.
All right, that's all we got time for, guys. I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there.
That different star chart is...
Yeah, exactly.
Debbie, thank you very much for coming on and for sharing your story. And also, Dr. Hanan, obviously, for your advice. I think this is all very, very helpful, especially to those parents who are trying to do the right thing, and it's very bloody hard. There isn't a universal guidebook that you can just apply and everything will work.
For sure.
All right, Debbie, nice to meet you. Good to have you on. There's Debbie and Dr. Hanan, who will rejoin us next Monday for some more. It's going to be okay. You can also send us an email if you want to talk to Dr. Hanan, and you can do that on contact@cliffcentral.com. Just quickly, and for your interest, Blind History Season 6 is about to start. In fact, I think we're recording our first episode of the new season tomorrow, and we would love your input as to who we should include. We have inventors, we've got artists, we've got generals, we've got rulers, we've got explorers, we've got writers, loads of cool people to choose from. Go to cliffcentral.com, just scroll down on the main page, and you will see that there's a link. You can vote as many times as you want, and we want you to have some input into who we decide to cover in these episodes of Blind History. And of course, you can even suggest names that aren't on the list. So go along and do that ASAP. It's all on cliffcentral.com. We want to hear who you think we should cover in the next and sixth season of Blind History. All right, it is 7 o'clock. When we come back, we got lots of really cool stuff, including Collectomania, which is always my favorite part of a Monday. All of that and more on the way. Cliffcentral.com.